Hi, and welcome to the Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for June 2nd. It's brought to you by One World Sports. I'm John Gibson, and joining me in cyberspace is Jim Allen. How you doing this evening, buddy?
Well, I guess that makes me the cyberspace man. I'm like the Billy of Tokyo. Okay, I'm doing well, actually. Better than I thought after watching, getting up at 2 in the morning and watching all of Masahiro Tanaka's game and doing a story.
Yeah, Masahiro Tanaka, I remember some guy named John Gibson predicted that he would win 12 games, maybe 12 to 14 games this year. Yeah, I think that might need some reviewing.
Whoa!
I'd like to adjust that
prediction. Yeah, I think the probability of that happening now is, well, it's probably still in the ballpark. But
man, he's going to win 10 games before July. And
you don't know.
I don't know that.
You don't know what's going to happen next week, so.
Well, anyway, he's doing great. He's doing great. It's good to see him doing that well. So
yeah, like I said, it's I'm not surprised that he's doing as well as he is. I'm surprised that he did so well as he is at the beginning.
Yeah, yeah. So. Well, he's a steady guy. All right, on this week's show, we've got an interview with Nippon Ham Fighters reliever Michael Crotta, and we're going to discuss the fighter, Senichi Hoshino, and more. So let's get started.
Clearing the bases!
You gonna challenge me here with a trivia question, guy?
I think this one is easy. In fact, I'm sure you probably know it because it probably came up this week, so it shouldn't be that difficult. We know that Yuki Nishi of the Oryx Buffaloes lost his run at perfection after 8 starts, and he's now 8-1.
Mm-hmm.
But who has the most wins in successive starts to open a season is the trivia question this week.
Wow.
Wow? Is that a wowie? It was in the paper. It was in a number of sports publications, so I thought you might have seen it.
I didn't read the sports papers this week. I do, depending on what I need them for. Is it a big name?
Yes.
That yes means yeah, kind of like if your brother worked with his sister or something.
No, for you yes, but maybe for some of our listeners no. How's that?
Kazuhisa Inoue?
That's not correct.
Toshio Niura?
That is incorrect.
Okay, give me a hint. Is it 80s, 90s, 50s?
80s.
80s. Jeez, I can think of so many people. Oh, Choji Murata.
That is correct. Yeah, Choji
Murata. Choji
Murata. He won 11 consecutive games to start the 1985 season.
That's when he was Sunday Choji, when he came back from Tommy John. He was the first Japanese pitcher to have a Tommy John surgery.
Yeah. All right. So, and then Masaichi Kaneda had 10. That was a long way back in the before time. And then
that was before it was the day. It was in the era, back in the era.
Yeah. And then Hisashi Iwakuma in 2004 won 8. So Nishi matched Iwakuma's streak.
I remember that.
But, and then it fell to the wayside. So yeah, good job. Good job. It didn't take you that long. Like I said, you see what I mean? You know, if for a guy like you, it's a big name. For some of our listeners, probably not.
Wow. He's a big name everywhere. I'll tell you about the ex and I were in Hawaii once in at wintertime when the Tigers, it was in the December 2005, and the Tigers and the Marines were there on their victory tours, you know, their victory trips to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
And the ex said, point out anybody who's famous, I'll get their autograph. So
you go, there's John Gibson, he's famous.
Okay, also at the same time, the Mae Kyukai is there playing golf and, you know, telling war stories.
The Golden Players Club guy.
That's right. Alex Ramirez did that gig last year. And we were getting souvenirs to take home with us, and I bumped into Choji Murata and in the gift shop, and I introduced my wife. I said, this guy's really famous. He's one of the greatest pitchers in Japanese history. He said, well, I never heard of him.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to get his autograph. What do I do with it?
Show me the famous people so I can get a picture with him. That is a good line. I like that.
Yeah. Not Ichiro. Get out of here. Okay.
All right, well, here's a guy who's making a name for himself. Let's put it that way. Michael Crotta. He's in his first year with the Nippon Ham Fighters. He was a 17th round pick by the Pittsburgh Pirates in 2006. Now, at the major league level, he's just pitched a little bit more than 10 innings, so not that much work, but he has like 700 innings in the minors. And he's come here, and already in a couple months, his ERA is like 0.70. That was what it was heading into Sunday's games. His whip, 0.84. I mean, NOLA data has him at percentage, left on base percentage of 79%. So, you know, he didn't walk a lot of guys in the minors, and he's doing the same here. He's done a great job. And it was so funny talking to him, and you'll hear in the interview. It just seemed like he was really thrilled to be talking to somebody, a fellow English speaker, to do this interview. Because he's very talkative. He's very social. It was really fun. And starting with the first question, he didn't really let me finish the question. I just made a statement, and he took over. I mean, it was great.
You hate people like that?
No, I mean, I had intended to make it a question, and I said I was setting up the question with a statement, and then he took care of it. And he did it a number of times. I was setting up a couple questions in there, so you'll hear in the interview. Let's go ahead and see what he had to say. All right, I guess this week is Michael Crotta from the Nippon Ham Fighters. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, not a problem. Anytime.
All right, so from what I saw of your career, you've been a reliever in recent years in the States, and you've been very effective coming to Japan in coming into situations with runners on base in really tough situations.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy that aspect of relieving. You know, the first 6 years of my career, I was a starter and you know, just to build innings and get my feet wet, but it's fun coming in with runners on base in real big situations. And you know, you come in, you got to be aggressive, and you got to make your pitches. And you know, that's just like any other time.
Were you prepared to do that, to be in that role with this team?
I didn't know really what to expect coming over. You know, it was one of those things that, well, we might have you start, we might have you be in the back end of the bullpen, we might have you in the middle relief. So I just came with the mindset of, when I get the ball, I'll just execute pitches. You know, and if you execute pitches, it doesn't matter if it's the first inning or the ninth inning, more often than not, you'll have success.
Some pitchers these days don't like to come in a middle of the inning situation with runners on base.
Yeah.
What's your mindset coming into games like that?
I try to keep it the same. Whether we're up 10 runs or whether I come in bases loaded, nobody out, I mean, you have to keep the same mentality, because you can't let the situation dictate. Because I feel like if you become, I guess, more competitive in certain situations and less competitive, I mean, you can't, it's not a light switch, you know, you can't turn it on and off. I think you have to come in with every situation like it's a really important situation, even if it's really not.
How have you been able to be so effective? You've been great.
Pitching inside, I think, is always been important for me. And just kind of watching tapes this off season after I got signed and really paying attention to how guys pitch. Pitching inside isn't as big here as it is in the States.
Mm.
And just kind of watching the hitters, like their swings are tailor-made for away. Not saying that I don't go away, but I think it's really important, especially over here, to establish in and in off the plate, which is not...
Yes, I beg for some of the pitchers to pitch inside, but they just...
And I don't know if it's a cultural thing, like the tipping of the hat when you hit somebody and stuff like that. You don't see that in the States. It's even like 0-2, you know, go ride one in on him and he hits him by accident. Everyone knows he didn't do it on purpose. You know, if students of the game know, hey, that was probably on purpose. You know, and it's part of the game too. You know, I think to be an effective pitcher, you have to command both sides of the plate and you have to command off the plate. And the more you can do that, the more successful you'll be.
I agree. Now, this team, I was concerned. I picked this team to finish way down in the Pacific League. I'll be honest. But I've been impressed with some of the young pitchers. And what do you think of some of the young pitchers here?
It's been fun to watch. Like, fun to watch them grow. You know, Otani, obviously, freak. I mean, I've never seen someone play baseball the way he does at 19. Uesawa has done a really good job. You know, he's hit a couple bumps in the road. But overall, he's done very well. And I mean, he's only 19 or 22. I mean, he's still got a lot of room to grow. And just watching these guys learn how to pitch as they go. And this, you know, it's one thing to learn how to pitch in A-ball or in the minor leagues. But when you're up against really good competition and you got to make changes on the fly, I'm really impressed with how they're doing it.
Now, I looked at some of your minor league stats, and it seemed like you had more hits than innings pitched and all that kind of stuff. And what did the fighters tell you they wanted you to focus on when they brought you on?
Just get outs. I mean, that's what it is everywhere yeah. you go.
Of course, but how?
I've always been sinker ball guy, mm-hmm. ground ball guy as a starter, you know, and they told me, you know, I had some really, really good pitching coaches early in my career. Yeah, Ray Searidge I had early in my career, who's also the pitching coach in the big leagues with the Pirates. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, so many other people that have really helped me throughout the way. And it's one of those things, I throw strikes, said, you know what, you're sinker ball guy, contact guy, balls are going to find holes. You know, there's going to be ground balls that get through holes, and there's nothing you can do about it. And, you know, the numbers aren't going to be pretty sometimes. You know, I remember there were starts I had, I gave up 17 hits through six innings.
But and, you had a shutout.
But, yeah, and I gave up, like, two runs. I mean, it's one of those things, you know, I've always been brought up, every pitching coach I've ever had is, you know, you can't defense a walk. Mm-hmm. Nothing you can do about that. But, you know, you get a guy to put a ball in play, somebody's got a chance to make a play for you. You know, you got good enough defense that, you know, that ball in the hole, all of a sudden we got a diving stop and that's an out. You know, you can't, you walk a guy and then all of a sudden you give up two hits. That's, you know, run. You give up two hits and then, you know, something could happen. You're bound to hit the ball at somebody at some point.
I agree. Now, what kind of team is this? It seemed like it was going to be a team that won with defense and pitching, and then you guys started to score some runs and you've been consistently scoring runs. So what kind of team do you think this is?
I think it's very, I guess, contagious, I guess would be the word for our offense. I mean, you know, we'll run into some struggles. We face some good pitching so far this year. We've had some starters go pretty deep against us. But it seems like once we get rolling, once we get runners in scoring position, we turn into a completely different animal. You know, we got so many guys that, you know, on paper their averages aren't great, but then you get a little deeper, runners in scoring position, how do they do, you know, RBIs and stuff like that, quality at bats. And it's pretty impressive. You know, we've got some guys that really know how to hit and are some real professional hitters.
You were talking about Miranda a second ago before we started the taping and saying that he was able to produce in key situations too.
And I faced him in the States, and I have to say that he was one of the guys I absolutely hated facing. Absolutely. I faced him in AAA so many times, and I think I've got him out once. You know, and it's nice to have guys like that on your team because I'll never have to face him. But, yeah, no, it's same thing. Like, there's some growing pains, you know, changing leagues. There's a different pitching mentality. The strike zone's a little bit different. And, you know, I think that kind of caught him a little bit in the first month. But, you know, when it was crunch time and there was, you know, runners in scoring position, it seems like he gets the job done, you know, 9 times out of 10, whether that be sack fly or just, you know, ground ball through the hole to score a guy. I mean, you know, it's not always pretty. It's not always a home run, but he gets the job done, and that's, you know, all you can ask for.
Now, what about pitching at Sapporo Dome? It's got to be really nice for a pitcher to throw there.
Yeah, it's big. It's big. As a ground ball guy, like, I've never really been too concerned about how far the fences are, mm-hmm. you know, and it's the same thing. You can't tailor how you pitch to your confines. You know, if you start saying, oh, it's really big, so I'm just going to throw stuff down the middle, you know, big field, there's big gaps. You know, if you're playing not to give up home runs, you know, it's not a good goal to have. Mm-hmm. You know, I've always felt like when I'm doing well, the ball doesn't leave the infield, so it doesn't matter where the fences are. So.
Yeah. All right, now, Shohei Ohtani. Would you like to have seen him concentrate on one particular thing, or do you think he can do both?
I think that he is, at this age, the best baseball player I've ever seen in my career. I think that at this age, he can do both. I mean, he's hitting over 300. He's pitching well. I don't know what his numbers are, but they have to be pretty good. You know, in 5 years, is he going to be doing both? I don't think so. I think he's going to have to choose one or the other. But as long as you can do it, I mean, more power to you.
That's what I said.
I can't think of anybody. I mean, like, Bryce Harper had all the hype. Mike Trout had all the hype. But they didn't pitch. You know, they're not rolling 97, you know, out there every 8 days or whenever it is they start him. And, you know, I think they're doing a good job of, you know, kind of protecting him as much as possible. Like, he gets a couple extra days in between, you know, and then he DHs and he plays in the outfield. And I think they're handling it right. And, you know, with a guy like that, with as much talent as he has, I mean, you have to find ways to get him in as often as you can while being smart and safe.
Yeah. Now, you said 5 years. Do you see him doing both? You say no. Which one do you see him doing?
If he keeps throwing 97, I feel like you have to have him start. But, I mean, he obviously handles the bat very well for being 19. Same thing, like, just watching him adjust in the batter's box as well as on the mound. It's impressive to watch how quick he picks up on stuff. And I mean, he's a good kid. He's a smart kid, you know, baseball savvy, and he asks the right questions, and he does all the work that he needs to do, and it's fun. It's fun to watch him do his thing.
Yeah, I like him as a pitcher, and I always say that. My partner likes him as a hitter, and he always says that.
Well, it's tough to argue when you're hitting 330 and you got 2-2. I feel like you can't go wrong either way.
But I don't think Major League Baseball teams see him as a hitting prospect.
Yeah, probably not. I feel like there's always more value to a starting pitcher that can go out there and have plus stuff. You know, those guys are harder to find than a guy that'll hit 300. But that being said, guys that hit 300 in the big leagues aren't really that easy to find either. So I you know, it's nice to have both. And you know, at the end of the day, like, he's going to keep going until he proves he can't do both.
Okay.
And, you know, that's, I hope he can do it for another 15 years. I hope he can do them both. You know, I feel like he'll be over in the States at some point in his career, and I hope that he's playing left field and pitching. That'd be great. I think that'd be awesome.
I always say I like to see him come in from the outfield and close out a game, man.
College. That's how our college closer was, played center field and closed. I mean, it was, you don't see it because everybody gets so specialized nowadays. Everybody does one thing and that's it. But it's refreshing to see a guy that's, one, got all the talent in the world and that can actually do both.
Okay. All right, last question. The gold unis. When are we going to see the end of these things?
I just work here. That's not my department. You know,
we're high-fiving.
that you know what? It's somebody makes the uniforms and some, you know, it's, you know, well, baseball players, man. I'll play in a dress if they want me to.
Oh, stop it.
Not really. I won't actually do that. But.
All right. Well, if we see you on the mound with something that is questionable, we
won't. You know, I got a big pay raise.
All right. Good luck the rest of the way. Thank you for joining us. All right.
Thanks again, Big Mike. And he's big. He's listed at 6'6", but I asked him how tall he was. He said 6'8", so I'm not going to – certainly I won't look down on him.
Yeah, you get a ladder to do that.
Adding those 2 inches.
I hate it when in the past I had to work with people who were like 6'7", and I had to look up to them. And I'm going, gosh, this is how the rest of the world must feel talking to me.
For those who don't know, Jim is a little bit more than 6'3", I think. So
I'm shrinking. I'm less than six. I'm about 6'2" now.
Stand up straight, my friend.
Yeah. Too many Richard III performances. I'm done.
All right.
It is.
All right. Okay. So, what stood out for you in the interview? I think for me, everything. So, yeah. I'll let you tell. I mean, everything. Okay, everything was great to talk about.
Well, it's just a couple of things. I was thinking about when I talked to Dennis Sarfate in March.
Right.
And he talked about different teams being interested in him, and the Giants said, you know, he said, "What do you want to do?" Well, we don't know if we want you to start or we want you to relieve. And
right.
He's a guy who, like I said, he hadn't started since he was with the 2008 Baltimore Orioles. And like I said, the only reason you didn't start is because you weren't within arm's reach.
Right.
And it seems that a lot of teams, I mean, you know, it sounds weird. We don't know, you know, we're just going to, you know, play it by ear. But I hear that from pretty much every team. We're going to basically... They want the managers and the pitching coach to have a look and see in the bullpen and to see how batters respond to your pitches
right.
in Japan.
Right.
And that part I understand. What I don't, and I understand it with this case, but you know, it's pretty common. But what I don't understand is when they do it, when a guy like Sarfate has been in Japan for 3 years.
That
you know,
is
they're
hard.
Signing him knowing what he can do.
Knowing his possibilities, his capabilities, his strengths, his weaknesses, yeah.
Yeah, that's what we've seen you do. We want to sign you, but we don't know how we want to use you. We don't know whether you're better in, you know, whatever. So anyway, that's kind of weird. But you do hear that all the time, and I don't think too much of it. One of the things, yeah, a couple of the points, I'll pick on them and let you run with it.
Sure.
One is talking about the size of Sapporo Dome and how he believes that, you know, you can't tailor your game to your park. And I think that's so true because, I mean, and I say, you know, it's not universal. Boy, my language, I need a translator today. I'm getting all these extra syllable bowls in there and so on. So it's not universal, because there will be people who are so mechanically simple and so aware of where their bodies are and what they're doing, and they're so good at making fine adjustments that they can make small adjustments that have big impacts depending on the location. Right. But those people, I would imagine, are pretty few and far between. For most of us, it's very difficult. I can't even speak today. How would I tailor my speech for somebody who could, you know, for a different environment? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was kind of interesting, and I have to agree with that. Now, it reminded me of this expression teams very often commentators will say. You have to tailor your team for your ballpark, which is kind of like saying we need to win at home because we need to win at home and we'll get cheap wins or something. I think that's the idea. The problem is that if you're successful at it and you build a team that has a lot of value for your park, you know, maybe the players are cheap who can reach right field at Yankee Stadium or what have you.
Right.
You tend to end up with a team that's less competitive everywhere else where you play half your games.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. I appreciated what he was saying about that. The other thing was, I think the young pitchers, that was kind of interesting. I'll get on about this in a second. And specifically Ohtani and I won't say refute, but clarify my opinion about Ohtani, because my opinion about Ohtani is exactly like his, in the sense that I believe he's most valuable anywhere as a hitter. Because there are a lot of guys who can pitch like him at his age, and there aren't many guys who can hit like him at his age.
Right.
Okay. But I also believe, and that would go for the major leagues as well. However, we all know major league teams. They don't want, you know, if they have a choice of, you know, a star hitter and a star pitcher, they'll take the star pitcher. All things being equal, they're going to go for the guy who can throw.
Exactly. I mean, my contention is that, yeah, they're not even looking at him as a hitter, but yeah.
Exactly. That doesn't mean he's more valuable. It just means that major league teams, when given the choice of a guy who can do both, will want him to pitch. They will want him to pitch, and I would say unless the guy doesn't want to pitch or is hesitant about pitching, which I believe was the case with John Olerud, who was actually kind of he was a so-so pitcher. He was a pitcher like, Shohei Nakata was a pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not a lot of heat, but, you know, he was basically a junk ball guy. Sadahara Oh was like that too. He was basically a junk ball guy who had a big future as a hitter. Okay. Most of the time, those exceptions, they'll make him hitters, but 9 times out of 10, if the guy's got any promise as a pitcher, bam, give up being on it. So I agree with him. If he wants to play in the majors, he should just work on being a pitcher. However, I also agree with him. Do it as long as you want. You know, it's your life. And, you know, if this is what you enjoy doing, is what you're passionate about doing, and then do it. Don't let people tell you what to do.
Well, you know, you used my exact words, which were more power to him. More
okay.
power to him. I've been saying that since last year. But anyway, let me touch on what you first said, the role situation, because you know I'm big on roles.
I know you are.
And I was surprised, too, that they hadn't really defined what they wanted him to do when they brought him over. But I was thinking it was probably giving us a window into what was going on with Nippon Ham in the offseason. I mean, if you think about it, they lost Yu Darvish. They lost Kensuke Tanaka. And they really haven't been competitive. Well, they were that first year, obviously, without Darvish. But then last year was
without Tanaka and without Yoshio Itoi.
Itoi, they traded away. That's right. They sent Itoi away as well. So they really weren't competitive last year. And I think it was sort of, let's see what we can do. We've got Urasawa. We've got Urano, we've got Mendoza, Luis Mendoza, mm-hmm. they're bringing in. So they had some new pitchers. I don't think they were quite sure what they wanted to do as a team. And
right.
It was kind of a feeling out thing. And I think we got a picture into that by Prada saying, well, they weren't really sure what they wanted me to do. So that was one. And I, you know, even if they didn't have a hard and fast plan, he said, look, it's my job to get out, so it doesn't really matter when I come in to get them, and I have to keep everything the same, or try to keep everything the same. Make sure, you know, don't worry about situations, just worry about getting guys out. But I love what he said about, I love coming in with guys on base. I've never really heard that. And especially in recent years with relievers, they want to start the inning. They don't want to be the guy who comes in. And I don't know, it's not they don't want to be that guy, but it's hard to go in and face your teammates in the locker room after you've come in a situation and you've allowed guys to score, inherited runners to score. I just think that guys feel bad about letting them come across the plate, and it's just a bad situation. I don't know what in the recent years, I would say in the last 10 years, especially in Japan, some relievers just don't like to come in when there's guys on base, and I understand that. So especially what Michael said, everything's getting so specialized that, you know, here's guys who do this, these guys do that. Sure. So for him to say, hey, man, you know, give me the ball anytime, I'm fine with it. I love it. And, you know, he said, look, pitch inside. I love that too, because sometimes I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, like the other night in this game that the Oryx Buffaloes lost that we'll talk about soon, in the 11th inning against the Giants on Saturday, Tatsuya Sato came in, and I tweeted, you know, he's throwing a lot of fastballs. It'd be nice if he could throw one with a little wrinkle here, but it doesn't seem like he has enough confidence to throw that. So now he's got to work both sides of the plate. And, of course, everything he threw was away, away, away. So guys start to get the timing. And, you know, guys made good contact. They didn't score the run off of him, but, you know, they got good contact. They got good swings because he never really came inside. And especially what Michael said, come inside off the plate. And if guys are going to hit it and hit it hard, a lot of times they hit it foul. If they can keep it fair, more power to them. I mean, you know, good job, you know, but pitching inside. And, you know, we talk about the fact that some of the swings here are slappy. They're not hard swings. And that's when you say, hey, look, these guys are looking to make contact anyway. It's not like you're going to get them out. Ground balls get through. You know, I love it sometimes when a pitcher gives up a little ground ball that just escapes the glove, and then, you know, a run scores and they take him out of the game. I'm like, well, he got the ground ball you really wanted. Yeah, he just happened to get through. Why are you taking him out?
Well, you know, I hear that, but I also know this thing about Japan, about the result on the score sheet result sometimes takes precedence over the actual event.
Right, or the execution of a play.
You know, it's like the guy who has who goes 0-for-4 and then gets a bloop sink, you know, gets jammed and he falls over flat on his face, but he gets enough bat on the ball, on the broken bat to loop it over the shortstop.
Get the winning run.
The shortstop falls over, yeah. So it's a hit, and he drives in the winning run, and he's there on the tachidai, and the guy who went 1-for-4 with three bullets right at fielders, is the coach is telling him you need to improve your game. That's so Japanese, and I understand that. But the other thing, from the pitcher's point of view, it's different, because so often, as you know, I used to have an expression. I've noticed a lot when I'm writing game stories, is so often you'll see a pitch that shouldn't get hit,
mm-hmm.
but is get followed by a pitch that shouldn't be thrown.
Yeah, I've heard you say that.
And I think that's true. I think that there's some logic to that. When guys give up hits that shouldn't happen, they can tend to get frustrated or try to do too much, or, you know, it takes their mind off things. But on the other hand, if you've got the attitude, well, you know, this is what I'm trying to do. You know, I was trying to get that ground ball. The fact that he hit it, you know, he found a hole between two fielders is irrelevant.
Right.
You know, so anyways.
And again, about Ohtani, what he said, I like that too. Of course, like he said, I don't think, and it was funny that he brought that up on his own, that he said, look, in 5 years, I don't think he's going to be doing both, but in 5 years, obviously, we think he's going to be in the major leagues anyway. And he's such a pure athlete. I mean, this day, I went to Tokyo Dome, and that's where they were playing the Giants. And I actually got to see him run, and he was running alongside a fellow pitcher, Uasawa. Mm-hmm. And just to see these guys move, you can just tell he's such a pure, high, like a thoroughbred kind of an athlete. I mean, mm-hmm. his strides are special. The way he moves is special. And like I've been complaining all along as a batter, he still looks a little bit awkward to me because he's so tall. And he still looks like that newborn giraffe at times where he's just awkward. And he's trying to find himself physically, and he hasn't mm-hmm. grown into his, I mean, he's still probably going to grow a little bit, and he still has, he doesn't have any baby fat or anything except in his face.
He's got a little four-year-old face.
Except in his face, but you can see he still can put some more meat on that body, and he's got the makings of a great athletic body. And, you know, the more I think about that, the more I think, oh, you're right. You know, if this guy gets where he understands his body a little bit better, and mm-hmm. he's going to be a great hitter. But I just, you know, that 97, and you think, you know, when he's throwing 97 and throwing, I saw a sequence where he threw a bunch of fastballs in a row. And he just located them different in different locations, but they're all fastballs. I mean, you know, he's not trying to fool a lot of people a lot of times.
He's got the other thing. He's got other pitches too. I mean, the problem here's the thing is it's hard to have a feel for it when you don't throw as much. But I say that knowing nothing, you know, knowing all, you know, when everything I know about pitching, you could probably put it into a thimble and have room for more. So it seems like, and this is useless information anyway, so I'll skip it, but it would seem that it would be hard to have a feel for the ball, but I have seen games where he has a very wicked curveball. I've seen games where he has a nice, I can't recall his change, if I've seen it or not. He throws a splitter and he throws a slider, and I've seen the curve. But they've all been pretty good. Fastball can be explosive. The curve looked, you know, but you know, yeah, the 97 mile an hour fastball and you know the 80 mile an hour curve is like it just kills people.
We can compliment him all day long. He can do both, and like I said, I want him, especially what Michael said, I want him to do both as long as he can, and I would love to see him prove to people that, you know, people nowadays, in this world of specialties, which I'm catching a Jim Allen disease.
You are indeed. We're like the fighters. We're contagious.
Yeah. That he can do both. And, you know, obviously I would like to see him go to a National League team so that he can at least bat once a week. But, you know, Fernando Valenzuela with the Dodgers in the 80s was used as a pinch hitter a lot. But anyway, yeah, you've got the things you said, the things I said. Like I said, everything that we talked about in this interview was really fun. He was a fun guy. We talked after the interview. We were talking before the interview. He's the kind of guy, obviously, I don't need to wish him luck because he's doing so well. And like I said in the interview, you know, he's been coming in and extracting some pitchers from some awful situations with guys on base and not letting anybody score. And I mean, it's just, it has been amazing. I can't believe it. I don't remember a relief pitcher who's didn't come over as a closer, who came in and has had this much success like this so quickly.
Well, Scott Matheson kind of did, although he had arm trouble, because he, you know, he had the speed, and he was also a guy who wasn't quite the closer. You know, he had a brief role as a closer in the States in AAA, and he was kind of like that, but he plugged in very well into that Giants bullpen. But of course, in the Giants bullpen, it was hard to stand out because of Yamaguchi and Nishimura. But yeah, that's a good question. It has been a while. I've tried to think of guys. I think Carlos Rosa is there now. I think Jorge Sosa was pretty good with the Dragons, was he not?
Yeah, he was good, but again, I don't think these guys came in middle innings. I think they started their own innings most of the time. I think Scott, you're right. I think did come in some situations. Yamaguchi did come in tough situations. They brought him to.
Well, that's Mahara. He can if he has to, but he doesn't worry too much about the roles. If he needs a guy now, he's going to use him. I mean, he doesn't let the roles ruin his games.
Yeah. Well, okay. Speaking about roles, now let's talk about some of the surprises with the fighters. And I think Naoyuki Iwasawa and another rookie, Hiroshi Urano, I think those guys have been big surprises because, of course, we didn't see them coming.
Because we didn't see him coming.
Didn't see him coming. Luis Mendoza, I kind of remember. I mean, he's 2-6 record-wise, but his numbers are pretty good. So he's been pitching really well. So I think that's a reason that the fighters are not where I expected them to be, and that's further down in the Pacific League standings. And then Juan Miranda, he's been really productive, even though, what is he hitting, about 240, 235, 240, somewhere in there.
Well, he had a very good May. I mean, he was not good in April, but he had a very good May. He was one of the better hitters in the Pacific League.
Yep, Sho Nakata has been, but I think Yeo Daikon, the way he's hitting, or what are we calling him, what's his...
Daikon.
I always call him Yes We Kong.
Yang Daikon.
Okay. He's getting the job done.
That's his actual name as opposed to Yo, whatever they call him.
Yeo Daikon, yeah.
Yo baby.
He's getting the job done. I mean, he's hitting with some power. He's getting clutch hits when they need him. All these guys are doing well, and I think if that's the way they're going to play for an entire season, yeah, they're going to be competitive, but I don't anticipate the rookies holding out that long. You know my philosophy on rookies, second half eats them up usually.
Oh, can I write that down? I remember that.
Yeah, second half. First half is for fun, second half is for real. And, we'll see how they do. I'm not obviously wishing them any bad luck. I hope they do well, but we'll have to see. I'm surprised that the fighters the runs, I think it was more than anything was the runs that they were scoring, because I really didn't expect them to have high run production. And
well, I'll tell you what surprised me, and I didn't, and speaking of things that we didn't see coming, because I talked to my friend, Mr. Hiroshi Yoshimura, former PL executive, former Detroit Tigers executive, former Hanshin Tigers executive, now a Fighters executive. He said, our defense is going to be a lot better. And I went like, yeah.
You can say that. hope
exactly.
It.
Yeah, exactly. I said, like, where's? Well, Obiki will be used to playing another year. He's 34 years old. His best years are behind him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't all that great to start with. Okay, but, and he said the other thing was that Nishikawa would be more used to playing second base. Well, first of all, he was hurt last year, so that kind of set him back. And I love Nishikawa as a hitter.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think he's right. And the other thing is, I think the other guy who plays right field, Kenichi Sato, is a pretty good. He's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Well, Otani's not bad, but I think the big difference here is in Nishikawa, and the other surprise is their defense. Let me tell you about their defense a little briefly.
Okay.
Basically, what I see is that they're really good at catching the ball. Now, this is something they didn't do last year at all.
Yeah.
Okay. The double plays, they're still weak turning double plays. Now, here's the thing. They've lost their number one catcher to free agency. They're playing the guys who are backups and reserves now, and they're one of the better teams in Japan at preventing stolen bases. So go figure.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So those are the things that they do well.
All right.
But defensively, overall pitching and defense, they're right. I would say they're probably second behind the Hawks.
And they're
in the
leading,
Pacific League.
Yeah, and they're leading the Pacific League in runs scored, which is, where did this come from? So that's a good combination. That's why they're in third place. They're only at 500, though, so I wouldn't start, the band up yet. But
fourth place is the Marines, and I don't want to go on a rant about the Marines.
All right.
Because we've already done that, and then they came out and took Interleague apart for 10 days.
Yeah, well, Interleague lasts for more than that, and they stopped taking it apart. It's putting itself back together.
Reassembling itself. No!
All right, well, thank you very much, Michael. It was good talking
Indeed.
To you. Hope to talk
I look
to
forward
you again.
To meeting you.
Yeah, it was a great chat. Really appreciate it. That was really fun. All right, so Yuki Nishi, Oryx pitcher, right-hander, who is going after Masahiro Tanaka's incredible streak.
Well, he surpassed Masahiro Tanaka's streak of wins to start the season.
Wins to start the season in consecutive starts, right? Huh?
And he was, well, yeah, and he was also, I guess, looking for Tanaka's other streak, which was 19 straight winning decisions, 19 straight winning starts.
Right.
He didn't make that either.
Yep, but he lost at Nagoya Dome 1-0. And this is why, you know, this guy pitched a gem, a three-hitter, a complete game, shutout.
No walks.
And this is what can happen. You run into a pitcher who shuts your team out, and you end up not winning the game, and you only give up one run, and you end up losing it. And
right,
he was warming up on the side, ready to go in and pitch the ninth inning had they gotten the score tied, and they couldn't, and that's it. You know, these wins and losses, they're so fickle. It's so hard to come by. Yeah. Yeah. It's so hard to come by sometimes that you can pitch really well and win and lose and have nothing to do with it, or you can pitch terribly and still not lose and sometimes win. And I mean, they're just fickle. But
you know, what's interesting, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, you said he got three hits and their team got shut down. Their team got shut down on 8 hits and 5 walks.
Yeah, shut out.
Shut out.
Yeah.
They blindsided themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they did everything but score runs, which is kind of an anomaly. It's kind of I don't take a lot into that.
Right.
But I think it was just bad. I think that can be psychological for a brief period of time. But
this was, for Nishi on Wednesday. Wednesday was the game.
Okay.
And they had 6 hits that day.
Excuse me.
But they had, they got 3 walks.
Okay.
So they had some base runners. And they ended up losing. But before that, I wanted to give just some acknowledgement or some recognition to Chihiro Kaneko, his Nishi's teammate, who threw on Saturday a no-hitter that basically got erased because of the funky rules that a game is not official unless there's a winner. Is that what it is? Or I don't know, because he for nine innings.
It's not a no-hitter unless it's a complete game.
Well,
he didn't throw a complete game.
Yeah, all right. Why isn't a game official after 5 innings and it can be rained out and they keep the records as official? And then a guy who throws a regulation 9-inning game doesn't get credit for it because the score is tied or it's scoreless. It doesn't make sense.
Well,
I don't get it. I don't like
baseball.
It.
It's baseball. It's not supposed to make sense.
It doesn't.
but, you know, I mean, baseball is, as we discussed last time, things like, or maybe we didn't. I didn't go into the next rule that I didn't even know about. No, there are rules that exist that nobody knows about and are not enforced, but they're still there. And I'm thinking,
I want my copy of the unwritten rules. I want a reprint. But anyway.
Yeah. So you're going on about that, and I'm going to save this a little bit of that venom for next week. But yeah, I was thinking about that because obviously that's a handicap for a player with a bad team that scores fewer runs, is that you're more likely to get shut out when you no-hit somebody. And you're a little more likely, you know, so it's not really fair. It's not equitable. And of course, life isn't fair and baseball isn't fair. You know, that's the way it is, you know, just win the game. Don't ask what's fair.
I understand.
But Kaneko got the same. I know they stranded 19 runners, I think.
Oh, I had them for 15. I heard
15. That was the number then. Okay. Yeah. They stranded 15 runners on Saturday night against the Yomiuri Giants.
In a game that went 11, or was it the full
12?
It was the 12 innings.
Oh, no, 11.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it was 11, yeah. And it was the most entertaining game I've seen this year, I think. It was a wonderful game to watch. So, really enjoyed it. Kaneko, the one I tweeted about was, bottom of the seventh inning, Oryx loaded the bases with 2 outs.
Yeah,
and loaded the bases because Tatsunori Hara wanted them to force Oryx to take Kaneko out of the game and use a pinch hitter, which would have been a pretty good thing to do.
At that point, there was no way he was going to come out of the game. Yeah.
Right. And I understand. I mean, let's put it this way. What would Hiromitsu Ochiai have done? It's like, Conoco, who's he? Get the pinch hitter in there. Get out of there. Get out of that on deck circle. What do you think you're doing?
No hitter? No problem. No way. Yeah, it was 12 innings. It was 12 innings. It was the 12th inning that Kamei hit this home run. So, yeah, it was unfortunate for Kaneko, but he, like you said, it happens. And then, Nishi, we saw his game. He threw a gem, and it looks like Oryx, one of my picks for the, interleague champion. They're so-so, they're middle of the road, but let's get into a little bit of interleague chat here, because some of the teams that we didn't expect to, well, one we expected to kind of be bad, and they are. That's the Hiroshima Carp. And I say bad, but I don't think they've been playing poorly, except for the 0-4 start. Since then, they've gotten their feet under them, and they're playing a little bit better. But the Yomiuri Giants today took over the top spot, and they're 7-4. And the Chunichi Dragons, in fact, of the four teams at the top, three of them are Central League teams, and I think that's a big shocker.
Well, I think it is a little bit. I don't think it's a shock to the overall big picture, but it's sort of like in my view, today to have five wins in five decisions by Central League teams on the road is a bit like, I'm not going to say it's like flipping a coin and having it turn heads five times, but it's like flipping it about eight times and having it turn heads. It's a little weird.
Yeah. I mean,
it doesn't change my overall opinion, but it, you know, it's, I think, the tide may have turned a little bit. I think, you know, if this keeps up, I know the Central League is now leading interleague play.
Yeah, which is nice.
The balance could have swung a little bit more to the Central League after losing, you know, the continual talent drain. But I haven't seen enough evidence yet. You know, again, it's a small sample.
Not me
so.
Either. But the one thing was the Carp, and I ragged on them for having a bad start, but they did play the top two teams in the Pacific League to open up interleague, and they didn't win any of those games. They played Oryx and they played SoftBank, and that kind of makes sense. Now that they're getting into some of the middle of the road teams or middle of the pack teams, they're having a little bit more success. So.
The current record in interleague is 4-6.
That's correct.
The Tigers are 4-6. The Swallows are 3-5. All the Pacific League teams lost today. So the best team in interleague is the Giants at 7-3.
Well, yeah, the Swallows and Hawks tied, so there was one tie.
So 7-3, and the Dragons are
6-3.
The Bay Stars are 6-4.
Yeah.
Which puts them tied with Lotte for third.
And another thing about the Carp, you know, they did start to flounder a little because they lost closer Cam Micolaio. And I heard that he had some discomfort in a shoulder or elbow or something. But then I also heard that he was back on paternity leave. So I wonder which story was most
true. Well, they're both true.
Yeah. Well, maybe they both are. So, yeah.
Basically, they deactivated him because he couldn't pitch. And then while he couldn't pitch, his wife was due and had their baby. So he took a couple of days and went back to the States to be with his newborn baby after his baby was born.
Yeah. All right.
His daughter, I believe, the second daughter. So congratulations to the Micolaios.
Yeah.
I always say Cam, and it's hard for me to say without the last name. Cam and Tiffany. Okay. Yes, and speaking of that, of course, what the Carp did, they ran Hatsuhiro Nagakawa out there.
Yeah.
And that reminded us of why he used to be their closer.
Yeah, well, he used to have the label as closer, but I don't think he closed much of anything.
No, he did. He's
closing because everybody's closing their eyes.
Could have been. He was a Sandman, baby.
The eye closer.
Yeah. And now the guy who's now got the job actually is interesting is a guy I think is pretty good, who is Ichioka.
Ichioka, yeah. Yeah. And this is another rookie.
They got him as compensation for losing Akano Take to the Giants. Right. And his first CL win came against the Giants.
All right, so, yeah, we'll he's considered a rookie then, right?
Hmm.
Yeah, interesting, good. He's young. I'm not sure that I want him closing games for me. Hurry up and get back Cam, but, you know, he's been pitching well this year.
using Nagakawa, who is the Hiroshima's version of Shuichiro Osada, which is you should come with a childproof cap or a warning label or something.
Wow. All right. Quickly now, we want to talk about the monthly awards and who's going to win them. So who are your picks?
What do you
picks?
Think? Who are you like?
I got no idea. I was thinking Brad Eldred again because I didn't.
30 RBIs.
So that was about it. I couldn't come up with a pitcher per se.
Uh-huh.
I was thinking Sugano did well, but he lost his game that month. I got nobody. Who do you have?
Hey, talk about PL. I think I got two candidates for the player of the month, the hitter of the month in the Pacific League and the Central League. In the Pacific League, the best candidate is Andrew Jones. And because he's a DH, that's no problem for who's the best player because, you know, you could be one iota behind and be a catcher and it says, well, defense don't count, dude.
Right.
Stand up, get in another line.
Right.
So the fact that he's a DH ain't gonna hurt him. He had 7 home runs and 18 RBIs. He batted, I think, 306, which is not outstanding, but the whole package was fairly impressive.
And a lot of late game power. To win games.
I think about he had 8 home runs. I'm forgetting he's 8 with 21 RBIs because he hit the 3-run sayonara jack yesterday.
Right.
But and the competition I think is from Yuki Nagita of the Hawks who batted 390, which is one of the things they like.
One of my favorite players he's becoming. I just like the way he tries to mash the ball.
Yeah, he's got a nice overall game. Yeah. Not, you know, a little power, a little everything. He's stolen 8 bases.
Yeah.
He pretty much does it all. He plays good defense. In my mind, who's the better player? No question. Yanagita's the better player.
Yeah.
Who was the better hitter? Andrew Jones. And we'll see. It'll probably be somebody else. Okay. In the Central League, I have Brad Eldred because they like the big eye popping numbers and he has 30 RBIs. He didn't hit for average, but he did hit 9 home runs and lead Japan with 30 RBIs.
I was thinking it would have to be some Swallows player because of the way they hit. And I guess Nakamura.
You know, it could be.
Yeah.
It could be.
Yeah.
Nakamura.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, I would go with Yuhei Takai, the former pitcher and former number one draft choice.
Yeah, Takai, he hit over 400, didn't he?
362.
Close enough.
Well, that might have been through yesterday.
Okay.
What have I got him today? Yuhei Takai is through yesterday, 364.
Okay.
364 with 8 homers, 19 RBIs, and a NPB high of 25 runs. You know, it's a nice package. 4 stolen bases, a nice package. And again, he plays center field, but that, you know, again, get in line someplace else for that.
I know, you know, Sugiuchi's probably could win for pitcher in the Central League because he hasn't lost, has he?
Well, here's the thing. I would
they only
give
it to you as long as you win every game.
Yeah. Basically, they want somebody who goes 4-0 with a decent, you know, with an ERA under 3.
He's in.
No, he didn't win 4. He won today. That don't count.
That's June.
It's June.
Well, he did well.
Okay, he did well. I'm gonna shock you.
Okay.
The
Yagi.
Central League, what?
Oh, Yagi is what I was thinking of.
The Central League pitcher of the month is going to be Shoichi Ino. 4-0,
that's right.
2.5 ERA.
That's right, Ino. But he only won 3 games.
And he won 4.
Oh, he did win his 4th? Okay. All right.
And he won a couple
that's
of days
That's right, he won
ago,
the
yeah.
other day. Yep, okay, we have a winner.
And,
I'm on board.
The Pacific League came out of nowhere. I had somebody else, but Takayuki Kishi won yesterday's 4th game, 4-0, 2.35 ERA.
Wasn't Eno's ERA a little high, or did he get it down? Oh, that's right, he threw like a one-run game the other day, right?
He threw a shutout. He also threw a shutout this month.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, Eno, I'm down with that. Sounds good.
Okay. Yeah, that would be kind of interesting. A little different blood there. Okay, so that's who I have.
All right, let's
see. You know, but speaking of odd things and these combinations, I don't know if I mentioned this earlier in the year, but thinking about the monthly awards, who's the one guy in Japan who could be the player of the month and never win the award? Shohei Ohtani.
It came to me.
Okay, he can't because they only want the player of the month has to be a hitter. with eye-popping batting numbers. And that's got to be a pitcher with eye-popping pitching. He could be the pitcher of the month because he's
going to make all the starts.
Four games and win them all.
Yeah.
Okay, with a decent ERA. But he could be the, you know, he could be the best pitcher on the Fighters. I think his hitting is his hitting performance, his actual results have slipped. And he's only batting .278. He went over four today, and he was only batting .278 today.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's the best hitter. I think Necronto or Young is the best hitter. But, you know, it's tough having those 19-year-olds who are one of the better hitters in the league and one of the better pitchers in the league, and they can't win Player of the Month award.
All right, quick note, congratulations to Shun Yamaguchi of the Yokohama Bay Stars. He tossed six shutouts innings in his first start in 7 years on Sunday and got his second win as a starter ever, so that was really good.
We have a role for him.
Yeah.
Because his first win as a starter was in his first start.
It was his
and
first
then he
start
lost five
2006,
in a row.
Yeah, and then they said,
go to
the bullpen.
So basically, 2021, that's when you should start again. Pencil that into your calendar. Next start.
Right.
And they're going to take somebody down.
Yeah. Well, we're going to start fielding questions. All right. Senichi Hoshino, the Rakuten Eagles skipper, who led the team to the first Japan Series title last year, and it was his first win in three appearances in the series, has a back ailment. And is going to have surgery and miss what looks like it's going to be a lot of time. Dave McNeely on the Facebook page said, didn't he step down as Tigers manager due to a heart problem? How many guys retired twice because of health issues?
That's a good question. I can't say how many guys retired twice out of health issues, but I'll tell you, I asked Hoshino about his retirement a couple of years ago, and he said, oh man, don't even get me started on when I retired from the Tigers. Oh, I was so exhausted and all the stress got to me. And then it's like the day after I announced I was, the day after the Japan, maybe it was even the day after he announced he was quitting, he felt fine.
Yeah.
And he said, wait a second, I don't want to do this. But he'd already announced it, so he couldn't do anything about it. And he was going, oh man, give me a break.
It's quitter's remorse.
I don't know if it was maybe it was quitter's remorse code for SOS. Get me out of here. I won't want to retire.
Yeah.
So
interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I don't know about his back, but of course, normally the odd thing is that normally when managers are given leave of absence for health and rest, it usually means they're getting fired.
Yeah. But we know he's actually, yeah, very, very.
It's common. That's the expression, Q-Yo. And 1 year, I'll tell you, and I think it was a pseudo, the manager of the Taiyo Whales was given a leave of absence for health in May. and Mori Masaaki, then the manager of the, who became a future manager of the Bay Stars, but then he was the manager of the Cebu Lions. They asked all the other 11 managers what they thought about him, you know, being put on leave. He said, well, it's a little early in the season to be sick, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, so, for better or for worse, I'm not sure what this impact on the team is going to be. I kind of expect them to be the same. One of the guys at work was joking around and said, now the players are more relaxed and playing the way they should play without that wretched man around. And I'm like, he's actually a nice guy when you get to know him. But yeah, I don't think to play for. I think he's pretty demanding. But it was pretty funny. You think it's going to have a big impact that he's not going to be around?
Well, it's going to be interesting. I think a lot is going to depend on Yoshinori Sato,
who's the interim
stepping in.
Yeah.
And he's a guy. He's not a guy. He's not a big talker like Hoshino. I mean, Hoshino will talk your ear off and, you know, and slap some skin off to or used to. But Sato is a man of few words, but he's a very sharp observer. He's not a screamer. He's more of a doer.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on them. They're doing okay. We'll have to see how they do and how long it takes Hoshino to get back. And he has it's more so than a sickness or anything. It's an ailment. It's a disease. So we'll see if surgery can get him back out there. I'm hoping it does. We wish him good luck. He's one of our, I know you're good friends with him, but I've watched him from the time that I've been watching Japanese baseball. So wish him the best. All the best. Good luck and good health to him.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you, John. Good job.
Good job to you. Thank you very much. If you want to send us an email, a question, a trivia question, please send it to yakyujohn@gmail.com or leave us a note on the Facebook page.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. Talk to you next week.
Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Enjoy your baseball. One World Sports is the exclusive home of the Yomiuri Giants in North America and features live coverage of all Giants home games. Please contact your local cable provider to find out how you can watch One World Sports.